Woo!
I'm really glad the end of your woo got picked up.
Me too. Me too.
Oh, jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I am Chewy, and that is not the proper order to go about things. This is episode 591. Wait, is that right? Yeah. Monday Night Magic. Now, I am Chewy, and I'm coming to you for the first recording from my new office. Yay.
If I knew the theme song to The Office, I would hum it now.
Nope. I got nothing.
Yep. Same here.
That's a way to get pulled from YouTube.
I don't think humming that for a couple seconds. Well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you want to bet on that, do you?
No.
I mean, just putting a video on YouTube is a good way to get pulled from YouTube.
Yeah. So, I'm Chewy. Of course, Bill is here in a slightly diminished capacity, because Bill is trying real hard to not follow the first rule of don't die.
Yeah, I have a -0.5 counter. It's not great.
So someone's taken a little girl... out of you? A little girl's worth of Bill out of you?
I mean, I guess that's something that could happen. I like to think that I attacked but was blocked by a germ token, and now I'm enchanted by some nonsense that's probably blue and preventing me from attacking or block.
Or maybe untapping.
Oh man, that'd be the worst.
I would. And also, as you could tell from the very first sound you heard, Clues is here and he's very excited.
Wait, you're going to keep that? You're not going to edit that, like, first half second out of the recording?
Nope.
Okay.
Because now we've referenced it, so I have to leave it in.
This is the worst self-fulfilling prophecy ever.
Is it, though?
I don't know. It's at least the worst self-fulfilling prophecy of episode 591 of Monday Night Magic.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm pretty sure Oedipus got a worse deal.
Okay, fair.
What about that one where the guy prophesized that he was going to be really, really sick tomorrow and then he just went out drinking all night? Does that count? Is that a self-fulfilling prophecy?
I think that's just poor life choices.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, like the prophecy has nothing to do with the outcome there.
Poor life choices, much like episode 591 of Monday Night Magic.
Clearly. So, hello everyone. As I said, this is the first thing that's been recorded in my new office. I've moved all of my recording, video, audio, recording production stuff from my bedroom, which is where it's been since I got the beast, you know, the new computer, new in quotes, and moved it into what was Scott's room with my new desk that Bill helped me put together like, I don't know, like a month and a half ago.
Last year.
Yeah. And everything is awesome. And, it's pretty great.
I'm not going to sing that song either, because that will get us pulled from YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of the team.
Damn it, Bill.
I didn't sing it, so it's fine.
Speaking of YouTube, I have to thank all of the fans and whatnot out there on, I have no concept of the passage of time, but on some day.
Tuesday.
Last week. Was it Tuesday?
I believe it was Tuesday.
Okay, because I was streaming Overwatch. Yeah, I was streaming Overwatch. And in between games, I checked my email and got an email from YouTube saying that I would no longer be a partner because I did not have 1,000 subscribers. Because reasons? And it really messed up my night. We streamed for a little bit longer, but I was suddenly in a foul mood. YouTube partner, by the way, just means you can monetize your videos and you get a few other tiny little perks. And I sat here and talked about it with Bill for a while, and then we hung up, and I sat here and fumed for a while, and then I started a rant in a Twitter thread about why this change was dumb and how it affected me and how it made me feel and how it was a kick in the balls to me as a creator, just all of that. And I realized after a while that I'd been ranting on Twitter for an hour and a half, so I went to bed. And when I woke up the next morning, I had 60 more subscribers than I had when I went to bed. And then about 2 days later, I had not only crossed the 1,000 subscriber mark that YouTube arbitrarily drew in the sand, but I also had gone past that. I'm sitting at, hang on, 1,086. So I've gained 221 subscribers in just a few days. And I didn't, like, during this rant, there was not a, could you please go and subscribe to my channel so I can, you know, continue to monetize my videos, blah, blah, blah. It didn't even occur to me to ask that, 'cause it just didn't. And yet, all of the fans and listeners and the various people, Jeremy Knoll had tweeted, hey, go subscribe to Chewy, help him out, because Jeremy Knoll is a sweet individual. We got to get him back on the show sometime. He was a lot of fun. But, the outpouring of support from everybody just really meant a lot, considering it came out of nowhere. So I want to thank everybody who subscribed to the YouTube channel just because. I mean, before, subscriber numbers never mattered, so I never really pushed it or anything. You know, I didn't... I've seen channels that have these huge subscriber numbers whose videos get less views than mine. So I'm like, subscriber count literally doesn't matter. So, if people want to watch the videos, they will, and if they want to subscribe, they will, and it'll be great, you know. But, yeah... This massive outpouring of support from everybody who saw the rant and understood, you know, what sort of nonsense that I was going through. It really did feel good. And so that's why I'm starting off the beginning of the episode to thank you all who did that or who have already been subscribed or just anything, really. For any amount of support you've ever shown, even if it's just a tweet like, hey, I like that show you did that one time. Thank you. And if I don't stop talking now, I'm going to get all choked up, because that's what happens whenever I think about this. So,
don't choke, don't die.
Don't choke, don't die. Not that kind of choke up. Is it dusty in here?
I'm well, you not did crying, just move a bunch of stuff, so.
Wait, what?
I said you did just move a bunch of stuff, so yeah, I'm going to say it's totally the dust.
Actually, yeah, the dust was pretty bad. But anyway, so hi, guys.
Hey.
We should, I guess we should talk about this. It is technically the first week of the new standard.
Technically.
And it's not just new standard in that a new set release. It's new standard in that we had standard bannings again that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
The two cards from Ramanop Red and the two cards from the Teemer Energy decks.
Yeah. The two biggest decks were kneecapped. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, but before we get to that, I'm going to talk about this GP because I have hiccups. Because it'll be nice and simple.
Professionalism.
Yes. Look, I walked in the door, threw food in the microwave, sat down, and, like, started the pre-show nonsense while I ate. So, patrons, you get to hear me burn the roof of my mouth on some reheated Pintos. Yes,
the car.
The car, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't been burned by a Pinto before?
You know, that's a good point. So, first we have GP Indianapolis, which was, Team Limited, right, is the proper term?
Yep.
Yeah, so we had 514 teams, which is 1,542 players, which is a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so...
Brand new limited format.
So, of course, we have names that I can't pronounce in first place.
Per tradition.
So, the winning team was, I apologize heavily for this, I'm going to go Xenufei. Close? Maybe? Chicheng Ye. And Zerui Zhao, something like that. I'm so sorry.
We don't do this on purpose. We promise.
Yeah. Two of these guys are Chinese, and one is Taiwanese. And I've never learned how any of those languages pronounce things properly. I'm very sorry. If it was Japanese, I'd be like, Bill, cover it, because Bill knows that sort of thing. But oh well. So that was first place. They beat out the ridiculously overpowered team of Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa, Eric Froelich, and Ben Stark. So, you know, that's a thing.
And admittedly, it's probably good for them because if they kept placing, you know, super high, eventually one of the three of them would have to get banned for fairness to the field. You get too many top eight placements and they're going to ban something. Just what we do now.
You know, he might not be wrong. In third place, we have Eric Severson, Benjamin Weitz, and Neil Oliver. And then, yeah, that was third place. In fourth place, we have the team of Shahar Shenhar, Lance Austin, and Oliver Two.
Who are sorted by height for your convenience.
They are. And that is very convenient. I hope you didn't want to see the top of Shahar Shenhar's head. Because you don't
get it. Because you can't.
So, yeah, there you go. There's the top four. Again, it's team limited, so there's even less to talk about than usual for the purposes of this show.
Yep.
So, yeah. Wait, were they running Pauper here? I think they were running Pauper sediments.
I believe they were running Pauper sediments, yeah.
Yeah. And this is the first... Is this the first GP that they've done that? I think it is.
No, I thought that was one was in December that they did that at.
Okay.
Because I thought we talked about it at the time.
Okay. Right. Because we made the joke, you think these common cards are going to go nuts in pricing and... Yeah, I said something like, they already are on Magic Online, and Bill was like, yes, I know, that was the joke. Like, right.
Go team.
Yay, now that reminds you of that show we did that one time.
Flashback.
Continuity. Yay. Boom.
So, yeah, there you go. That's GP Indianapolis. You know, good job, everybody. High fives all around.
Yes, in fact, there were over 200 players for the Sunday Pauper event.
Holy crap.
At least according to a tweet from the professor from Tularean Community College.
You think instead of making all of these never actually going to work out pre-built standard competitive decks, they could just make Pauper decks and just sell them at a reasonable price?
I mean, they probably could.
Like, those could actually be competitive Pauper deck. Like... If you're going to do the pre-built deck that's competitive, you can do that with Pauper.
It's true.
If they want to get that format running, and it would save you the trouble of tracking down, you know, commons that really shouldn't cost money. Good times.
That is a good point. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. But instead we get Challenger decks, so maybe these kitchen table losers will start playing Standard. Even though they didn't with all of the other attempts to get them to come play Standard. But whatever.
Acquisitions.
Yay. You remember event decks? No, shut up. No, you don't remember that. Now we have Challenger decks. Shh. Anyway.
All right.
We are not here to throw off on Wizards just yet. So let us go to... Okay, let's not go, but let's look at...
Metaphorically go?
Is that pronounced Delos?
Yeah, we're going to go to the Star City Open in Dallas.
Oh.
Yeah.
That thought was... it was like SCG Dales or something. Gotcha.
That too, yeah. So this was the team, what's it called? Team Constructed Trio. So it's called one thing in one place and another thing in another place. And I always forget which one is which. What do they call it here?
Team Open.
So team Triforce.
Team...
Team Venture.
Team Construct. Okay, it's
Team Venture,
Team Constructed,
yes.
Here at the Star City events. Okay. So we've got the first plate. Now, again, since this is Team Constructed, these are a little weird as far as format goes. Like each format, you can't necessarily look at this to see how Standard's going to look, is the point I'm failing at making here.
It is entirely possible in this to have a Standard deck that is subpar that gets there on the strength of the Modern and Legacy decks in that format.
Yes.
Same goes for Modern, same goes for Legacy. So it's even more variance than normal when it comes to looking at just the top decks and seeing what was successful.
Yeah. I just really wanted to make Bill talk there because he sounds so pitiful.
I do what I can.
We appreciate the sacrifice, though.
We do, yeah.
I'm a 0.5.
So that with that in mind, the first place team is Julian John, who was playing Mardu Vehicles in Standard.
So there you go. Mardu Vehicles is the best deck in Standard.
Shut up, Clue. Kevin King playing Lands in Legacy. Which...
Not the best deck in Legacy.
Nope, no, it's the best deck in Legacy. It came in first. Sorry.
Nope. You just told me that I was wrong on the first one, so this one's wrong too.
And then in Modern, Jonathan Rosum was playing Humans.
Which is still better than Merfolk.
Is this the... This is the five-color Humans deck. This deck is so cool.
Humans? Like Landfish.
Right?
I'm just picturing a Legacy deck called Landfish. It's lands crossed with Merfolk in some way.
That sounds disgusting. And probably does okay, because it would have blue in it.
Anyway, in second place, Andres Campion was playing Green-Black Constrictor in Standard.
Hmm.
Huh.
It is officially the second best deck in Standard.
I hate you so much.
Jay, look, man, you invited me to this call, okay?
Rocking that Jade Light Ranger.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, and Chupacabra.
Well, of course.
Oh, yeah, I expect there's lots of Chupacabras.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
We've got Michael Cortez playing Bant Company for Modern and Kyle Finken playing Turbo Depths for Legacy. The hell is Turbo Depths? Hang on.
Faster version of Dark Depths?
Yeah. Is there actually a company named Bant, and have they been really confused for the past several years?
Quite possibly.
Why is it when we Google ourselves, we keep getting these...
What's with this card game? We make parts for radiators. I don't understand.
Also token.
In third place, Dan Jessup is playing Sultai Energy in Standard. Andrew Jessup is playing Grixis Death's Shadow in Modern. And... Brad Carpenter is playing Grixis Delver in Legacy. In fourth place, we have Zach Els... No, wait, no, no, standard. Here we go. Dylan Kirkpatrick playing Mardu Vehicles. Andrew Solano playing Burn. And Zach Elsick playing Mono Red Sneak Attack in Legacy. The Burn was Modern. Yeah. Okay, hang on. These aren't in... here we go. In fifth place... Christopher Connett is running Red-Black Aggro in Standard. Modern. Matthew Walker is running Burn in Modern. And Ivart Moen. Yes, is playing Storm in Legacy.
Looks like Ant.
I don't know. Are there any wishes? There are no wishes. So it's probably Ant. So that was... Who is that? That was fifth place. In sixth place, we have William Ho playing Teamer Monsters. What the hell is that? Oh. Okay, then. Bristling Hydra, Glorybringer, Jade Light Ranger, Rekindling Phoenix, Servant of the Conduit. Remember that card? Voltaic Brawler, Ronus the Indomitable, and Thrashing Brontodave. Which is a joke that somehow came from the pre-release episode of the Mana Pool. I don't remember how, but we ended up calling him Brontodave.
Is it Brontodon's brother Dave?
No, I just think his name isn't Don. I don't remember the context of the joke because that was recorded live at Lucky's at the time. So we say all kinds of stupid stuff at the time. There you go, Thrashing Brontodave. Good old Brontodave.
You think Ronus the Indomitable and Rekindling Phoenix is as annoying as it looks?
Almost certainly. Oh, God. Wait, is it?
I mean, it could be.
Dude, plus 2 plus 0 against Trample?
I mean, 6-3 Trample flying haste.
Yeah.
Every turn.
Seems pretty good.
I mean, the deck obviously does other stuff. I'm just imagining how annoying that would be.
That's pretty annoying. Okay, wait. Where are we at? That was 6th place. Okay, Jeremy Fry is playing Ironworks combo in Modern. Really? Wow. Why?
To come the top 8?
And see, this is what we're talking about. I haven't seen this deck finish high in Modern in a while, and yet here it is. It could just be because we haven't seen a lot of modern Lily. I don't know, but still. Who's the other person? Travis Brown is playing Death in Taxes and Legacy. That was sixth place. Seventh place, we've got Jose Rios playing Grixis Control in Standard. Jose Rios playing Scapeshift in Modern. Judge?
Well done.
Huh. And I'm going to assume that either they found two guys named Jose Rios that really wanted to play Magic together, or that's a typo. And Mickey Humphreys is playing Mardu Taxes in Legacy. And then to round out the top eight, Matthew Garner is playing Blue-Black, Control in Standard. Logan Martin is running Jeskai Control in Modern. And Steven Hager is running Sultai Delver in Legacy.
I think the Jose Rios thing is that whole bit where Legendary only really applies to your side of the battlefield. So the person sitting next to you could also be a Jose Rios without the legend rule being a problem.
Oh, that could be.
Either that or like they just had a mirror gallery like in the venue.
He brought one with him. It's fine.
Well, I mean, I would too if I was traveling with another Jose Rios. I mean, if one of you twips out while they're driving, you're both dead. Drive safely.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm all right. Oop, sorry about that sound, listeners. I was trying to find my microphone so the next time I fall out laughing, I can mute. There we go. Okay, so let's keep going. That's the team constructed. Again, because of the nature of it, we're not going to go deep in depths on the decks, but we never do for team constructed.
We're not even going turbo depths.
Not even. Ow. So how about the actual Standard Open? By the way, how many people were playing? 206 teams, so 618 people playing team constructed. Wow, that's pretty good.
Damn.
Okay, so the Standard Classic. The first actual Standard tournament we've had, bear in mind, there were 89 people. So not the biggest, sample size. But still, let's go for it. In first place, we have Tristan Lube running Mono Red Aggro.
Like we said, best deck in Standard.
Huh. It's Ramunap Red without the desert stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
New Standard rules are in effect.
Oh, that's also true. Yeah, anytime that there's a new format and things have been shaken up, Aggro's probably safe.
Yep.
So there you go. And this is really, it's Ramunap Red with Glorybringer instead of some desert stuff. Like, that's, yeah. Okay, moving on. In second place, Salvador Barboza is running Mono Red Aggro. This one has a Chandra Torch of Defiance in there. Remember her? Yeah, she's a good card.
Wait, oh.
Ooh, also Inventor's Apprentice. Ooh. Anyway, third place, Jim Davis is running a white-blue Auras deck. Okay, hold on. I have to actually look at this. Adanto Vanguard. Okay, Adorned Pouncer. Okay, Sacred Cat. I'm seeing a pattern here. Sky Marcher Aspirant. Which one is this? Flying as long as you have the city's blessing with Ascend. Okay, 2-1 for 1. Got it. SRAM Senior Edificer. I remember that card.
SRAM.
SRAM is sick in decks like this. Baffling End. Cartouche of Knowledge. Cartouche of Solidarity. Curious Obsession. Ooh, +1/+1 and Curiosity. But if you didn't attack with a creature this turn, you sacrifice it. Ooh. Okay. Trial of Solidarity. Sheltering Light. And Legion's Landing. Huh. Okay. This is really neat. I like it. I like it a lot. Any input from you guys? No? Okay, moving on.
Aggro.
Yeah.
Burn it all!
In fourth place, Keelan Snyder is running a Mardu Vehicles. Which looks just like... the Mardu Vehicles decks from before.
Hmm. Did anything get banned in Mardu Vehicles?
Not since the first time.
Well, there we go.
Okay, what set had Lightning Strike in it? Ixalan, okay. It's still showing M15 when I mouse over it, and it's freaking me out.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah. I was like, I haven't seen this art in a long time. Stop it.
Oh?
So we'll show you masterpieces of cards you'll never have. But when it comes to Lightning Strike, M15.
Yep.
Look, I'm just disappointed they aren't using the unlands.
Oh, they were for like a week, weren't they?
Yeah, then a new set came out.
Oh, yeah. Lame.
Yep, but they're not even showing the new set's lands.
No, no, these are the land you would get out of this set. Yeah. They don't make new ones, it's just stupid.
Well, this Mardu Vehicles deck is showing me mountains from, what is that? Hour of Devastation?
You're right, that's like Ramon Cat.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is just a failure. You're right.
Okay, everybody's wrong.
That's
this
it.
This game
that's
is it. Unplayable.
Literally unplayable.
Uninstall Paper Magic. It's done now. Go home.
In fifth place, Logan Berryman is running green-red monsters. Grr monsters. Okay, let's look at this. Scrap Heap Scrounger. All right. Death Gorge Scavenger. Okay, that. Yeah. Glory Bringer. Jade Light Ranger.
Popular choice.
Yeah, well, it's very good.
Huh?
Merfolk Branchwalker. Rekindling Phoenix. Thrashing Brontodave.
Glory to the Glowing Owl.
That is really pretty art on the Rekindling Phoenix.
It really is.
I bet it's a pretty playmat.
Yeah. Still Thrashing Brontodave. Galta Primal Hunter, which...
Elder Dinosaur.
I think we in Limited we didn't talk about it, but in Limited this thing is busted beyond all reason.
It should be.
And I know this because Mike murdered me with it.
Well, that sounds like a Mike thing to do.
Yeah, it was bad.
How much did it cost him when he did it?
The first time he cast it, it cost 4.
Ha!
The second time he cast it,
you lost.
It cost 2.
You lost both games.
I did. Spoilers if you haven't listened to that episode of the Mana Pool, but yeah, I lost both games. Because
you're already in a bad place if that thing is cheap.
No, I wasn't. That's the problem.
Oh, is it like a board stall?
No, I just had dudes who were gonna, you know, eventually get me there, and then he played a 12-12 with Trample, and I'm like, everything I do is dumb right now.
That is life, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a Chupacabra.
Which I was playing green-red, so no.
Chupa thingy.
I started rewatching Red versus Blue to actually get further than, you know, just the first 2 seasons.
Sure.
And I think I made it all the way through 3, and I'm partway through 4. And
a lot of the humor holds up really well.
It really does. And I caught, this time when I watched it, I caught, yeah, the Chupa thingy. And for some reason, I heard it in your voice.
That is wonderful.
And I just started giggling. I had to pause it. Anyway, where did I get to? Galta Primal Hunger, and then PNLR, and Ronas the Indomitable. With a Heart of Kirin, because of course, 3 of them actually, Magma Spray and a Braid. Yeah, Magma Spray is pretty tech right now with all of the things that come back or eternalize or mummify or whatever.
I really want to believe that at least once an Elder Dinosaur got to drive the car. And just drove it right over everybody to smash into someone's face. And then I got out of the car, coughed a little bit, and went inside a country kitchen.
I'm just picturing Galta Primal Hunger. Like, oh God, what's his name? Brooks from The Shawshank Redemption. Like he stalks out and a car goes past him and he's like, looks like people got themselves in a big dang hurry.
I'm just imagining like Galta has that primal hunger and wants drive-through, so it squeezes into the Heart of Kirin. Because as you know, you have to have a car to go through drive-through in most states. And so the giant 12-12 dinosaur squeezes out that little window on the side of Heart of Kirin and then proceeds to look over the menu forever, taking off everyone behind it because it's old. And then before you know it, it orders the special chicken tenders that are finally back at McDonald's, and then it has to pick a sauce, and that takes forever, but you stop yelling at him and you realize he's a big 12-12 with Trample, and so you get patient, and then he gets up there and you have to wait again, and before you know it, you're just not even.
Can we all agree that Galta has the voice of Wallace Shawn? Because he was Rex from Toy Story.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
I was kind of going with Fat Albert in my head, but that works
okay,
too.
Okay, no, I really got to go with Wallace Shawn here.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. No, that's totally, it's Rex. You're right. I will assign Fat Albert to a different store.
Yeah, look, you never go up against an elder dinosaur when death when, is on
when
the line.
When death is on the line.
Anyway, all right, so that was the Grr Monsters deck. In sixth place, Richard Fernandez is playing Mardu Vehicles. So, you know, there's more of that. Seems good. In seventh place, Sean Joyce is running Teemer Dinosaurs.
Teemer, the last dinosaur.
Okay, let's see. We've got Carnage Tyrant. Hey, there he is.
Drover is your of the friend Mighty. And a whole lot more.
Stop that. Drover of the Mighty. Makes sense. Regisaur Alpha. All right. Rekindling Phoenix, because that card's good. Ripjaw Raptor, Galta, four Galta. Jesus!
Well, you know, Chewy, the second one's way cheaper than the first one.
Yeah, and then dies immediately.
So much cheaper, though.
Nissa, Steward of Elements, that's the green-blue one. The spells are Reckless Rage, because Ripjaw Raptor, and that's it. That has an enrage ability. Huh. But still, four damage to a creature you don't control for a single red is fine.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, Commune with Dinosaurs, Sweltering Suns, and Thunder Herd Migration. No, Bronta Dave is in the board. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Okay, I have to ask, what is Admiral's Order? Because the auto card doesn't work.
I was going to ask the same question.
It's the raid cancel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is one of my rares from the pre-release.
I'm going to guess their auto card doesn't understand apostrophes.
Yeah, the apostrophe problem.
Yeah.
Apostrophes have been a problem in auto card things for literally years.
My guess
Scott
would
had
be
to
that.
Rewrite the auto card thing, not from scratch, but he had to rewrite a lot of the code for the auto card thing. On the mana pool.
Yeah.
Both so I could add links and so apostrophes would stop being stupid.
Yeah, that's what happens when code also uses that character.
Yeah. So, all right then. So that was, what place was that? That was the Teemer Dinosaurs in seventh place. Okay, in eighth place we have Mardu Vehicles by Zan Syed. Oh, Walking Ballista. Remember that card? Remember that card was like everywhere and everyone hated it because it was busted and oh my god, and then the format ran away without it?
Good times.
Yeah, yeah. All right, seems good. So that was the top eight. What is further down? Expert Gift. Blue-Red Winds. Is this favorable winds? It is. Huh. Okay, cheap flyers that do things or things that make Thopters with favorable winds seems really good because favorable winds. Creatures you control with flying get +1/+1 for 2 mana. Thopters have flying. Just
so does Aethersphere Harvester.
There is that as well. Let's see, Grixis Energy and 11th Green Black Constrictor.
It's holding you back.
Yeah, yeah, it's got the Walking Ballista, Vergerous Gear Hulk.
Walking Blister?
Ballista.
Oh.
It is a ballista in the sun.
Yeah, just Walking Blister also sounds like a magic card, just a gross one.
Like a ballista in the sun. I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rishkar, which I was trying to get to before everyone, you know, started talking. So yeah, it's that. Like, hey, remember when this deck was a thing? Let's rebuild it. And hey, look. Twice we've seen it now. More Mardu Vehicles, Grixis Energy, more Grr Monsters, and a Black-White Tokens deck, and 16th. Which we have seen before. Is there anything new in this?
It's got the Arch of it.
Oh yeah, the Arch of Orozca. There you go, then.
Profane Procession in the board.
I don't remember what that transforms into. Hang on.
Tomb of the Dusk Rose.
Oh, put a creature card exiled with this permanent onto the battlefield. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Really? Interesting. Okay, then. So that's the top 16 of the first standard tournament we get. Again, there were, what did I say, 89 people. So, you know, again, not the hugest sample size, but it is a nice little taste. Just a taste. So let's go to Modern. How many people were playing Modern in the Classic? 152, where Tristan... that was my elbow and it...
That's a really weird name.
I really hope the microphone picked up...
Parents were hippies.
...that sound before I just lost my mind. Anyway, his name is actually Tristan Jones, but my elbow decided to...
Rename him.
Redirect me. Who's playing Burn?
Yes!
Something tells me Clues likes Burn.
Oh, it's so nice. Look at it. Goblin Guide, Grim Lavamancer, Monastery Swift Spear, Eidolon. Oh, yeah, it's great.
All right.
Lightning Bolts, Searing Blaze. Oh, yeah. Skullcrack.
Do you and the decklist need some time?
I love Burn.
Would you, two questions. One, would you like to get a room? Two, does Jen know?
Yep.
Okay. Hell yeah, alternate lifestyles. okay, in second place, we have Jeremy Thorner, who's playing Decepticons, which is what these people call Affinity. Oh, it's got Thoughtcast. Boom.
I gotta say, there's Thoughtcast,
actual
buddy.
Affinity.
Proper Affinity.
Sort of, yeah. Two cards that have
Affinity. Yeah, and?
I hate this deck name. Anyway.
More than we normally get.
It's true. In third place, we have Thomas... hang on. My brain transposed some of the letters in his name. Lunardini. Lunardini? We'll go with that. Who is playing
Lunardini?
Infect?
Lunardini. Yeah, I can't do it either.
Lunardini? That could be. We apologize, as always. But he's running Infect, so...
Oh, wait. I don't apologize anymore.
I was going to say, it really doesn't matter how you pronounce his name, because he's running Infect. Just kidding. In fourth place.
Yeah, you don't have enough time to figure out how to pronounce his name because the match is over.
Yeah, because you've already lost because he's beaten you. In fourth place, Michael Chapman is running Green Red Tron, complete with Blood Sun in the board, which I find hilarious. So just me, because I find that hilarious.
That is hilarious.
I'm kind of confused by it.
What do you mean?
Like, why do you run Blood Sun in this deck?
Because it doesn't shut off your Urzatron.
Oh, because that's a mana ability. You're right.
That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, I get you.
And that's why it's hilarious.
But in my mind, I'd remembered it as just being like the lesser Blood Moon, but no, that makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Also, it gives you a card, which is sweet.
Which is sweet. So
jolly good.
We've got fifth place, Gabriel Womack, playing Grixis Death Shadow. I haven't seen anything new in any of these. Which, I mean, isn't entirely...
I don't think you're going to see too much new until the actual Pro Tour hits us.
That's a good point. Jeskai Control in sixth place by Guo Quan Lim, let's say. Apologies again. But it's Jeskai Control, so this all looks... Yep, pretty normal. Hey, look, Sphinx's Revelation. You remember that card?
No, I don't.
No, and neither do you. Yep, okay.
The best therapy money can buy.
Seventh place, Justin Wade is again playing Decepticons with a single copy of Hope of Ghirapur, which is always funny. Whoop. And then in eighth, Brian Brian H. is running Blue-Red Gifts Storm. Blue-Red Gifts Storm. Buh.
Oh, I guess that's the answer to what's in the box.
Yeah.
It's Storm.
All the mana known to man, and then you lose. Huh. All right, then. So that's that. Looking past 8th into the rest of the top 16, just got control, more burn.
Burn!
Mono Green Tron, more burn.
Burn!
Humans. Jeskai Control, Blue-White Control. What is Blue-White? Oh, wait, this is Modern. Never mind. It's Blue-White Control. Whoa, it's got Gideon of the Trials. And one Gideon Jura. Two getting to the trials and one getting Jura. Because sometimes you just need, you know, an extra turn or two.
It helps.
Yep. And then in 16th place, burn.
Burn!
There you go. So I guess that we should go to the Legacy Classic, where a whopping 68 people were playing.
Yes, we had 68 players for the king of all formats, Legacy. And in the Legacy Classic, Chris Dunn snuck into first place after running past all of Jody Keith's lands. In third place, Dylan Donegan still hates both white and green, or at least his Delver deck does. William Yowell had fourth place all locked up with his mono-red prison deck. In fifth place, Thomas Nelson disagreed with Dylan Donegan on white, but liked green more than red for his Delver deck. In sixth place, Ben Caswell's red-black deck just won't die, while Timothy Schultz is also big into real estate, and Casey Steiner needs a miracle. All they need is you. And that was your top eight. Yes, I did that ahead of time. You're welcome.
Of course you did that ahead of time.
For those who missed, second place was Lands. Third place was Grixis Delver. Fifth place was Sultai Delver. Seventh place was also Lands. Eighth was Miracles. Ninth place, we had Storm. I believe this is an ant list. In 10th place is another Storm, which is a test list.
Yep.
But the best deck, of course, goes to 11th place, where Trent Avera was playing burn, proper burn. None of this Boros burn. No. This is all red. I think this is my burn deck, actually, just looking at it here.
Physically yours.
I think he actually has my burn deck. So, Trent, can I have my deck back? Because I've been looking for that.
Not like you're using it.
Hey, hush you. We have some Sultai Delver in 12th, more Mono Red Prison in 13th, Death and Taxes in 14th, sadly Miracles in 15th, and Death and Taxes for 16th place.
seems good.
This top eight brought to you by memories of watching Sports Night.
I used to watch Sports Night on, whatever streaming service it was on, because, you know, I binged it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was Legacy.
And that's how you cover a tournament, my friends.
That was pretty good.
You're welcome.
I would say I'll take notes, but I was too busy giggling, so. So, as far as news goes, there's only really one more thing. Well, two. The Great Designer Search 3 has begun, and I think the deadline to submit answers to the essay questions was actually, last night.
Yep. So if you're in it, you're in it. If you're not, too bad.
Yeah. So we've got, that's going on, and that'll be going on in the Making Magic. I guess it's just going to be in Morrow's articles, or Morrow's column. Is where that's going to be covered, I think.
Probably.
No, because the Great Designer Search 3 show will begin on Friday, March 9th. Okay, then.
That will likely be covered on a Tumblr, maybe some Instagram, and let's say MySpace. I don't know. Everything gets scattered so far, I can't keep up.
Friendster.
Yes. And Google Plus.
Friendface.
Google Wave.
Now streaming on Google Wave. If you don't know what that is, you're welcome.
Yeah, good for you. Anyway. Okay, then. So that's that. Again, if you're in it, you're in it. If you're not, well, then sorry, you missed it. You should have been paying more attention, because they've been all over it on the Magic site.
Stick around for the Great Designer Search 4 coming in 8 years? I don't know.
Like
that? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. But then the other bit of actual news, they have released an article, and they did a stream explaining how the economy in Magic Arena will be working.
One word, Dogecoin.
Shut up, Clues. You're going to scare people.
I know. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. It's not true. That was a joke. I swear. I'm sorry. I'll just be quiet over here.
You're right. Dogecoin is a joke.
Correct. So, Magic the Gathering Arena, as you know, is the new digital thing that is the replacement for Magic Duels, even though they don't ever seem to want to say that. And it's going to be the Magic version of, like, Hearthstone or Eternal. So it's in closed beta right now, where, you know, they've finally gotten done with testing out the engine, I guess. And now they want to test out their new idea on the economy. You know, how you acquire cards. That's the main thing, is how you acquire cards. And what sort of currencies and how your time gets rewarded and all that. And so, as of right now, this is what they have. Again, reminder, it's in closed beta. This can all change if they get enough feedback that this is terrible, stop it. Okay, if they get enough valid feedback that this is terrible, stop it. Because I'm sure they get unending this is terrible, stop it feedback. Because Magic players. But okay, so there are two in-game currencies in Magic Arena. Gold, which is the same as it is in virtually every other game. As you play, win games, complete quests, stuff like that, you get gold, the in-game currency. That's how you buy booster packs and stuff. Okay? Okay. There's also gems. Gems can only be purchased for real money.
And they're truly outrageous.
Nope, different kind of gem.
Oh.
Yeah, this is more like the live-action movie.
Ew.
I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Wow. Way to just harpoon an entire currency sight unseen,
I'm
buddy.
I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm just kidding.
Like, ugh. God, I gotta go wash my headphones.
Yeah,
gross.
You're nasty. Well, I'm because you're sick. See, is what I was getting at. Just disinfect. Anyway, so.
I'm sorry. Tell us about gems.
Yes, gold is the in-game currency that you just get. That's the free-to-play side of things. And then gems are what you get if you want to spend real money. Okay? Okay.
See.
Gems are again, what bypasses the free-to-play aspect. Instead of just letting you buy packs or cards or whatever directly, you buy gems so you can get packs or whatever.
Okay? These are your Disney dollars.
These, yeah. Your Doge coins, if you will.
Your Doge coins.
So, there are a few ways to get cards in Arena. There's booster packs. Booster packs have 8 cards, 5 commons, 2 uncommons, and 1 rare or mythic. Draft packs are 14 cards that are just like paper booster packs with the basic land removed. And yeah. And drafting in this also adds those cards to your collection. So much like paper Magic, whatever you draft, you keep. Okay. Individual cards will be earnable through play. So if you get X number of wins or whatever, you will get a card of some variety. Okay. It says right now they're testing a system where every match win, you'll get 1 card, up to 30 per day. But that's what they're testing right now, so ignore the amounts. It's just focus on different ways to get cards. There are special things called wild cards. A wild card is sort of just exactly what it sounds like as far as poker is concerned. You can get a wild card for any given rarity, and a wild card can be redeemed for any card of that rarity. So if you get a common wild card, you can trade it in for any common card you want. The same goes for rare, uncommon, mythic, whatever. So if there's one card that you really want, and it's this one rare, then hope that you get a rare wild card, and then you can have it. Make sense? Okay. And then there's the vault.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. So it says, every time you open a booster, you earn progress toward unlocking the vault. And this is key. When you would collect a 5th copy or more of a card, instead of getting a 5th copy of the card, because it's just like Magic Online, where having any more than 4 is completely pointless. But rather than having them cluttering up your inventory, it just converts them into vault progress. Make sense? We're testing the rewards that you can earn each time you open the vault. We will start by awarding a number of wild cards. We'll likely change the exact mix over time and during testing to get a balance correct and keep things exciting. So it looks like right now when you open the vault, you get some wild cards to go trade in for whatever cards you want at that rarity, rather than just giving you cards and you going, oh, I didn't want any of these. They give you a wild card so you can go get whatever the hell you want. Sounds good? Sounds good.
Yay.
And that's currently how it works, as far as just the economy goes. Now, as someone who plays a lot, and I mean a lot, of Hearthstone, this seems fine. It's... I haven't dived into any amount... Doved?
Let's stick with Doven. I think that's...
I haven't Doven into any of the specific numbers or anything, because, to be honest, when they first showed this, I read over it, like, I skimmed it real quick, and I went, sounds perfectly serviceable. And then before the show, I actually read the whole thing in depth. And you know what? Sounds perfectly serviceable. This is how digital trading card games work. And I'm sure, and we talked about this before the show, but I'm sure what they've done is look at how all the other ones work. Because as much as I love Hearthstone and play it all the time, it does not have the best economy system. It's good, but it's not the best. Lots of people point at Eternal and saying, look how great that is. But mostly that is for acquiring more cards. Like, oh, look, every pack you get this number of cards and you get this amount of dust, which you can use to craft cards and blah, blah, blah. Whatever, whatever. Doesn't matter. This is how they're working it right now. So stop complaining. I know some of you are already complaining. Stop it. Unless you're in the beta, in which case complain to them. Okay? Okay. it's perfectly serviceable. I haven't crunched any numbers. I guess probably if anyone's going to crunch numbers on this sort of thing, it's going to be over at MTG Goldfish. It seems like the sort of thing he does. Saffron.
You don't actually have numbers to crunch yet.
Oh no, they'll come up with numbers to crunch.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that when you start seeing people crunching numbers, we don't actually have a lot of numbers to crunch yet.
It's true.
We don't know how many cards are going to be in there, you know, at launch. We don't know size. We don't know distribution. Like, all we know is how many you get out of a booster pack.
Yep.
And we don't even know at what point the vault opens up and gives you stuff.
Nope.
So, like, we don't have any actionable data yet.
People in the beta know this by now because this started, when did this
last
start?
Week.
The 18th.
Yeah.
So today is the 22nd, so... Yeah, people have figured some of this out by now, but it's a closed beta, so they still can't.
So don't ask them.
Yeah, they still can't go crunching the numbers publicly.
Yeah.
Or they shouldn't anyway, because NDRs, you know. NDAs, rather. I don't know letters, okay? I don't know numbers. I don't crunch numbers. I can't read. My life is a sham.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think that's weird? He also doesn't have any concept of the passage of time.
I don't. So that is that as far as the actual currency. They also outlined some core principles on acquisition, how to get cards, because this is another thing that's a problem in Hearthstone and has better handled in other games like Eternal. And it's how to get more stuff, because in a trading card game, you can't play the game until you get cards. And then you can't play all the different things you want to play until you get more cards. I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably have played Magic at some point in the past. You understand this. But in this game, you can't, like, luck into a buddy who goes, hey, I'm getting out of this game, have all this, and just get this huge box of cards, commons and uncommons, to build decks with and fiddle with. That's just not a thing that happens. So, some of the things they're currently testing that will be tweaked at the very least and completely change at the most, they're doing front-loaded rewards, where it says most of your rewards come in the first hour or two. Things like your first win of the day gives you a big pile of gold or whatever. And they're doing daily quests, of course, because that's a tried and true thing to keep people coming back and keep giving them things to do. So daily quests pile up. It doesn't say how many you can have at once. Like in Hearthstone, you can have 3 active quests. And if you still have 3 active quests when it rolls over to the next day, you just lose one. So you're encouraged to play every day, and they don't necessarily want you to play every day. So you could play every day and knock out your quest, or you can let them pile up and knock them all out in one big session, whatever. And they're also, for people that want to play more, they're outlining some a system of rewards based on total wins per week. For people that want to play more, you get more for playing more. Makes sense, right? And then the other thing they put in bold, players need a variety of cards to have the most fun, so reward them with as many as possible. So you, at the moment, they're giving away cards on wins, boosters per week, keeper draft. So whenever, like I said before, whatever you draft goes in your collection. And they're avoiding the dusting system that is present in other games. As it says, it would have limited their ability to be as generous with card rewards. I don't know how that works, but sure, whatever. That could just be spin. Whatever.
That sounds like spin.
Yeah. It says, in addition, we simply didn't want players to need to constantly evaluate what to destroy, which is a thing that people in, like, Hearthstone, I run into. Well, I dusted my such and such and, you know, legendary or whatever. And then when the next set rolls out, that card is a, like, pivotal role in the metagame. And you're like, damn it, I already dusted it. Now I have to hope to open it again or craft a new one at a loss. Because when you dust a legendary in Hearthstone, you only get a quarter of its what it would cost to craft it.
So it's like selling in RPGs.
It's also like selling in Magic. Like,
or like selling in real life.
Yeah, my buddy JT sold his Legacy Merfolk deck. He's like, yeah, I'm getting out of Merfolk, and he regretted it at some not long period of time later, because he really liked it, or they were reprinting stuff or releasing new stuff. He's like, damn it! So it's essentially like that. You don't want to. Well, I'll never play this. Dust it, you know, all four copies, don't need these anymore. And then later you find you want it again, and you go, ugh. So they've just removed that. That's not a thing you can do in this game. When you open a card, it's in your collection now, you have it, and there's no way to get rid of it. That might change in the future, it might not, I doubt it, but that's how it works. And then when you open more than four, instead of getting dust that you use to craft cards, you just push towards opening the vault, which gets you wild cards, which you use to craft cards. See? It all makes sense. It's all essentially the same thing. It's just a different approach to it. And as the person here who plays the digital card games more than the other two, that's why I'm going on and on and on about this. It seems perfectly fine. Like, at first blush, the basics of it are good. They work. It's great. It's going to be in the tweaking and the amounts and how long it takes to open the vault. And, you know, just how rare is that mythic wild card? That sort of thing that's going to determine how it actually feels. But the actual logistics of it, as they've outlined it, are good. It works. That's all you need. You need to know how to get cards and how often you get cards and stuff like that. And they've outlined all that, and it sounds good. Anything from you guys?
No, I have no input here. I have so little experience with these sorts of online card economies that I got nothing. It's a thing. It seems to work, I guess. Nothing is raising any crazy red flags.
Like, exactly. Without seeing any rates and breakdowns, there's not really much of an opinion room to have beyond that the structure here makes sense. Usually where these things become problematic are when the rates are atrocious. So, like, if you reach a point where, yes, you can play it freely, but realistically you're expected to spend money to keep up, and it doesn't sound like they want that, then you'd have a problem. But we don't have enough data to jump to that conclusion. Well, they want you to spend money.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to present something as a free-to-play option,
it has to be viable.
It has to be viable, if not convenient. Like, you usually want to have that balance where you enjoy it enough in the free aspect that you're like, yeah, but I don't want to wait till later that you spend money.
Exactly.
Or I would enjoy this more if I had more. Like, that's the way that model works. I mean, the free-to-play is very much the first one's free mindset. Yeah. Now, mind you, we don't know, like, you know, they're not getting rid of Magic Online or any of that. But when you look at the Magic Online people, they've been spending money hand over fist to play Magic Online. So if they wander into this, it's not going to be this big scoffing like, yeah, of course I'll throw down some money to get the whole set. they might just do that. They're used to losing all their money in Magic Online on a regular basis. This is what they do. For other people who don't want to do all that, this is a great entry level thing, we hope. And maybe they'll really enjoy it. And at the very least, it looks a lot prettier. And it's nice to know that there are still methodologies for playing the game without having to spend a lot. So,
yeah. Kudos. And as long as the free-to-play works, like my Manapool co-host Brian has been playing Hearthstone since well before I did. He started playing, I think, before the first adventure came out, Noxramas. I'm pretty sure he was playing before that. He's one of the reasons that I started playing. To this day, as far as I know, Brian has not spent a dime on Hearthstone. That was in, like, 2014. And I don't think he spent any money on Hearthstone. Mike, my other Manapool co-host, who's also been playing since about the same time, eventually started spending money on the adventures. And that was it. They don't do adventures anymore. So to my knowledge, Mike hasn't spent any money on Hearthstone outside of the adventures. And they still play all the time, anytime there's new cards or whatever. It's a thing if you're a patron, you know. It's a thing we talk about on the Odds and Ends. Not a lot, but relatively frequently. So, and they're still happy with it. That's the point. Free-to-play has to be viable, or else you want people to spend money because they want to. You don't want people to spend money because they feel like they have to. That's where the free-to-play thing breaks down. As a, you know, working business model. So, yeah. I think it'll be fine. Again, it's just going to depend on the rates of things. And there's even a thing here at the bottom that says, and this is great that they're actually saying this out loud, we also want to make sure that you get the wild cards you need over time. So we're testing out a pseudo-random system that increases your chances to open a wild card of a given rarity every time you don't open one. So and this is a thing that I told the guys on the Odds and Ends. In Hearthstone, there's a system that is unofficially called the Pity Timer. Someone a while back used all kinds of pack opening data to determine that if you go 40 packs without opening a legendary, which is the equivalent in Hearthstone of a mythic in Magic, then on your 41st pack, you will open a legendary guaranteed at the time. That's what the math came out to. I think it was 40 packs. It doesn't matter. Something like that. And this is what's known as the Pity Timer. If the game knows if you haven't opened a legendary in however long, it will give you one so that you stay interested. But this is all behind the scenes for Hearthstone for the longest time until someone just crunched the numbers, you know, did the math, looked at the data. And they're saying it outright. Hey, eventually you will get these wild cards so you can get the cards you want. Virtually guaranteed is how I read this. So, and it's good that they're telling you this, because if you go for a while and you don't open, you know, a rare or mythic wild card, you're going to start to go, and that really sucks, like, as a feeling when you're opening stuff. My luck is terrible, I don't ever open the, oh, hey, there's one, yay. And it's just another way of hooking you into keep playing. But it works, so hey, awesome. You feel good, you keep playing. You might throw a few bucks at them here and there if you're a free-to-play player. You're like, you know what? I got 5 extra bucks. I must buy some gems. Whatever. And that keeps them happy because, one, you're still playing, and the longer you play, the higher the likelihood is that you'll give them money. And then everybody's happy. So anyway, I think we spent longer on the MTG Arena than I meant to, but it's very important to me. I really want this to do well, you guys. I really want this to do well. Like, a lot. So I'm very excited about it. And you can bet once it comes out of closed beta and into open beta, I will be in there and I will be creating content. I'll be streaming. I'll be making videos because it's going to be great. And I'm in my new office, so it'll be even better. Yay.
Woo.
So, okay then. Is that... Okay, wait. We talked about... Yeah, we did the great designer search. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Magic Online?
Yeah, I guess we can Magic Online. It's not going to take very long because, as you know, the new set came out in Magic Online right after the pre-release, slash right before the pre-release, slash whenever Magic Online time works.
Yay.
Weird like that. Yeah, they started their Rivals events back on the 15th was the beginning of their sealed event, like not counting the pre-thing. And then the 19th is when it came out proper. So you can just go play it online. Woo. They did update Magic Online to include the changes to the ban restricted list, so go team. They've updated the... Actually, yeah, this part's kind of neat. With the release of Rivals of Ixalan, they retired the Playpoint bundles, Iconic Masters from the Vault Transform, and some older products from the store. If you'd like to see what's still there, there's a link in the show notes. And here's something that they're so proud of that they just went ahead and posted it in the real thing rather than just the bug blog. They finally fixed ninjutsu. Yay. So a bug that was preventing ninjutsu from functioning on cards like Ninja of the Deep Hours has been fixed. Now all your ninjas can poof in and out of combat like they were always meant to. It's a sign that a set-defining mechanic has been broken for so long that they're happy when they can announce they fixed it. But hey, ninjas, right? Yeah. That's really about it, though, because Magic Online news goes up on Tuesday. We record on Monday. So if you want to stay current, go to the website, go to products, then Magic Online. The next article will go out on the 23rd. And honestly, most of it for the next few weeks is going to be here are the upcoming events, because when they're in pre-release slash new set mode, not much else happens. So keep an eye on that. That's about it.
What about Masterful Ninja? Is that in Magic Online yet?
Masterful Ninja?
Yeah, the one from Unstable.
Is that like Ninja Cat? Or like Ninja like War Wagon? Or Ninja whatever I put to the right of that card? Because no, they're not.
Oh. Oh well.
It's a shame.
I mean, he doesn't have ninjutsu, so I guess it didn't matter, does it?
I mean, you know, Flavor Judge might decide otherwise. Remember, everyone, according to Flavor Judge, all changelings have ninjutsu, because they are all ninjas.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
Does that mean they all have Bushido too?
Yeah, as do all Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Or at least they should.
I'm looking well, the honorable Raph. Ones do.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Raph.
You jerk.
All right then.
Yeah, he's the chaotic good of the team.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. So, was that it for Magic Online?
Yep.
Nice. So, is that it for this episode?
Yeah.
Nice. So, hey, Bill, you want to sickly tell us where people could find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SweeGoblinTheBob. There's no I in Goblin because it was part of the 0.5 toughness that was cut away. So it's very sad. It will be missed.
Aww.
It'll probably be back next upkeep. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm probably not going to be as super vocal this week, but I am going to try to jump on to Chewie's Overwatch streaming nonsense tomorrow night, which I'm sure he'll tell you about in a moment.
That's tonight, because this isn't going up.
Correct. Tonight. This is Tuesday night when Blizzard World pops up, and I am flying around as my Black Cat Diva. So good times.
Is it bad that when you said that I heard Black Cat Diva
burn out now?
Well, that's how I heard it now too.
I mean, that's what you're going to hear if I get my voice back by tomorrow night. Enjoy the Discord chat. But yeah, that's where I'll be. Past that, I just want to note that unrelated to all of my normal, like, watching tons of anime and everything else, I recently finished watching on Netflix, I finished watching Breaking Bad, which I did not get into for a very long time. And I will join the consensus of people that say it is very good.
Damn it, Bill. And now I'm the last one.
I know.
And I'm still. I can tell you, it is absolutely the best side story that you will ever find for Malcolm in the Middle. And it's going to be really hard for you to convince me that it's not, because I've already decided this. That makes it canon. So enjoy your Malcolm in the Middle drug making fan fiction on Breaking Bad. It is a 5-season detour into Albuquerque. Good times.
So wait, and on that, you haven't seen it either?
I have not.
Okay, good. So it's not just me. Yes.
Nope. There's at least two of us.
Yay. Tweet at Squeak Goblin Nabob if you have not seen Breaking Bad and are okay with that fact.
Hashtag unbroken.
I mean, I'm not telling you to go watch it. I'm just saying I watched it.
But you also said it was good.
I enjoyed it.
See? So you were implicitly telling us to go watch it.
I mean, I tell you a lot of things are good that I don't expect you to go watch.
That's true, yeah. It does eventually work.
Eventually. I don't know. Clues have been trying to get you to watch a lot of good things for a while.
I have.
Look, I watched one of those things that Clues told me to watch. What was the what was the one with the kung fu?
The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon.
Yeah, dude, that was brilliant.
Show enough.
Show enough.
One of these days, I'll get around to actually watching The Wrath of Khan.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You still haven't.
Well, look. Okay. One, I very
No. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
It's cool though. You've seen Into Darkness, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing, right?
Jesus, I hate you.
Worth it.
Hey, Clues, didn't you record a podcast that wasn't Monday Night Magic recently?
Hey, yeah, I did. Are we to me? Am I signing off with the stuff? Okay, hey, I suck slightly less at recording podcasts than I did, say, a week ago, because Rich and I finally got back together and recorded a new episode of Random Discard. It clocks in at just over 2 hours, and that has just been edited. Should get posted, I don't know, around the time this episode gets posted. So I'm going to say Tuesday sometime. So watch for that.
You're
coming soon.
That because you took so long between episodes, you're giving people a double-sized episode?
Yeah, that's the ticket. And it's totally not just because we started talking like way too long about Star Wars movies. So
the comic book term is giant-sized.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yes, it's a giant-sized annual issue is what it is. And we've got a crossover with, let's say, the New Mutants. It's not true, but let's say that.
I would not brag about that.
Yeah, like I was put on the spot. I didn't know what to do. I panicked. You can find that here on the MTG Cast Network, as well as over on our website, which is randomdiscard.com, or at least you will be able to, like, any moment now, by the time you're listening to this, let's say. I'm going to guess, if I'm a betting man, it's going to be Tuesday around 3 o'clock Eastern. That's my guess. I don't know though. We'll see. If you want to discuss anything with me directly, your best bet for that is the Twitters. I am at Loch Luzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes.
LACLUYZEMOUSE.
And now let's see. Oh crap! I sang that. They're gonna pull it down from YouTube. Oh man. And now let's pass things over to Chewy and see what he's been up to.
I am Chewy, and I have been moving into this office. But it's awesome. I put pictures on Twitter and the Manipool Facebook page, so if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out, because it's sick. I love it. Outside of that, I've been, you know, making videos and streaming and podcasting. Hey! The live episode of the pre-release, or the live episode from the pre-release, went up, where Mike and I took the digital recorder to Lucky's and recorded stuff. So, of course, we got matched up in round one. So, you know what? We just recorded those games, which is pretty cool. It's one of the upsides to being matched against each other, is it makes it easy to record a round. Spoilers, Galta. Let's see, what else? Over on YouTube, I've been putting up successful dungeon runs from Kobolds and Catacombs and Hearthstone and Cuphead videos, which I was going to record more of today, but I had a drive. So I will record more Cuphead hopefully tomorrow, because I love that game. And if you haven't played Cuphead or even seen Cuphead, then you should do that. Like, you don't even have to watch me play it, although you should, because I've been told it's pretty good. But you should check it out, because it's brilliant. It's brilliant! And that's youtube.com/themanipool. Over on twitch.tv/themanipool, I've been doing a lot of things. Tuesday, so if you're listening to this the day it goes up, tonight, we get a new stage, Blizzard World, and a lot of new cosmetic things, skins and emotes and stuff in Overwatch. So we will be streaming Overwatch on Tuesday. Yay! To take advantage of all the new stuff. It'll be me and Bill and Steph from Lair of Lore and possibly Cap. And if Cap is there, probably Haley too. So yeah, we're all going to play some Overwatch and it'll be sweet. And then, well, I did something else. Clues. Yeah, Clues was there. I did a stream of bizarre, obscure, and possibly bad games.
It was epic.
It was where I had a bunch of games. I still do. I have a bunch of games in my Steam account that are tiny and weird. And so I decided to install some of them and play them on stream. I started with Potato Man Seeks the Truth. That's T-R-O-O-F. Which was pretty good. I liked it. It was charming. It had awesome music. And it changed me deeply and spiritually when we finished it. Because I beat it right there on stream. And then, I don't remember the order, but then I played WizOrb. Which has 8-bit, like, Nintendo-style graphics. And it's a breakout slash Arkanoid game. You know, with the ball that goes up and breaks bricks. And you have a paddle at the bottom to return it. But it's got a wizardly magic theme to it. So that's cool. That was actually a lot of fun. I'm going to keep playing that because it's cute and it's fun. And I really suck at Arkanoid slash breakout games.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, I played a game called Intrusion 2, which was completely done by one guy. And it really felt like it was trying to be like a Flash version of, like, Metal Slug, those kind of games.
I do like Metal Slug.
It was fun, but the controls were just a little bit too janky, and the music was miserably repetitive. But it was doing neat things, and it had physics in it, which for a side-scrolling platforming shooter-style game is really interesting. But plus, I got to ride a wolf and maul people. So, hey, that helped. So I'd give it a solid...
at the same time?
Yeah.
Wait.
You couldn't do those separately. Actually, I was riding the wolf. The wolf was mauling people. So.
That's just delegation.
Yeah. But I'd give it a solid meh instead of a thumbs up or a thumbs down. If you see it on sale, you know, it's neat.
I like how you could have people watch the recording of this.
Well, I mean, the recording of this is way more interesting. The Twitch, yeah. It's the VOD, the video on demand is still on Twitch.
It's epic.
And then there was Super Trench Attack, which was supposed to be a lot of fun and really funny.
Not very good.
And it was neither of those things. It wasn't funny and it wasn't fun. So yeah, we didn't play it for very long. And then
that's a good name.
Yeah. And then I got done with that and just played Cluster Truck with the stream voting enabled.
And I put together IKEA furniture while he did it.
Yeah. And so I was playing Cluster Truck while Clues was putting together furniture. And
after all,
it was a lot of fun. The way it works is, so it's this weird first-person platformer game. I've done YouTube videos on it in the past, but it was a good while ago. You're on moving trucks trying to get to the end. And the trucks are driven by complete morons.
Who hate you.
And the floor is lava. So if you touch the ground, you lose. So you have to go back to the beginning. And it's very frantic and insane. And then periodically it would throw up a vote of three different options to throw at me, like narrow trucks or laser trucks, which was ridiculous, or exploding trucks or double gravity or half gravity, stuff like that. And then the Twitch chat can vote on it. And sometimes Twitch chat hates me.
By which he means all the time.
But that's the whole point of having, you know, Twitch voting. So yeah, I got to deal with some of that. With Twitch chat voting, and it was a lot of fun, actually. I got way further in it than I did when I made YouTube videos out of it, oddly enough. So, yay. But that was all just one stream. So that's what you're missing by not going to twitch.tv/themanipool and following there. Or you could even subscribe if you, you know, are feeling generous, because that costs money. Or if you have Twitch Prime, you can subscribe to one streamer every month for free because it comes with Twitch Prime. Twitch Prime is part of Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. All you have to do is link a Twitch account. So I highly recommend if you have Amazon Prime, and a lot of you do, that you should totally link a Twitch account and go give your free subscription token to some small streamer every month. It doesn't have to be me. I'd appreciate it. But that free subscription token helps all of us smaller streamers a lot. Like, you could go give it to Kibler, but Kibler has so many subscribers already that it's just a blip to him. You know, it's a, oh, cool. But there are, like, no offense to Kibler, but once you get that many, you know, subscribers and whatnot, it's hard to keep track. But us smaller streamers love it. So there you go. And you have to redo that every month manually, which is another thing people forget, myself included. But anyway, enough of that. Then there's my Twitter at TheManipool, Facebook.com/TheManipool, all that good stuff. You can go to TheManipool.com to listen to the Manipool podcast, of course. Monday Night Magic and The Manipool are both on the YouTube channel in video form with a static image of whatever thumbnail I come up with. There you go. And with that, we won't be done, because Patreon, if you want to help support what I do with all of this content, 2 podcasts a week, YouTube videos, Twitch streams, all of that, including odds and ends, which you'll hear more about in a second, then you can go to patreon.com/themanipool, and every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. If you want, you can get early stuff, that's YouTube videos and Manipool episodes early. You can get the early stuff and the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and The Manipool. It's uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption. And if you are feeling exceptionally generous, you can be a lifeguard and get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and get your name read off on both podcasts and on the end slate for all the YouTube videos that go up that month, or every month that you support at that tier. And to that end, I would like to thank the following exceedingly generous lifeguards: Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lance Delicious, Timu Hellas Haryu, John Morris, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bertain, Casey, Nathan Hay, AJ Heavieris, Cody Buckowing, Jacob Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Patrick, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Mike Millerburned, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Thank you all so very much. I quite literally could not do it without you. And with that, I will shut up finally. Good Lord. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 591. I would like to remind everyone, Bill included, no dying.
You're not the boss of me.
Ah, no dying.
Oh, you're right.
And thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.